introduction to all that we are going to talk about in the next couple of weeks. This morning I don't really want to give a regular shiur. Generally we don't have source sheets that look like this, this much wording, but the reason why we have it today is because I'm not really giving a shiur this morning. It's more a learning session together. And the reason why I want to do that is because I have found that these insights that I put on here have been helpful to me in framing what exactly our job is supposed to be, what our mindset should be at this time of year, and I hope that will be meaningful and helpful to you as well. So let's begin as follows. There are three times that Moshe Rabbeinu spends 40 days up in heaven in Shamayim. The first time he goes up is to be Mekabel, is to accept the first set of the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, and he finds out that the Jewish people have gone astray. He finds out they have fallen prey to the Egel, and he's beside himself. Moshe Rabbeinu subsequently goes back up to the mountain for another 40 days and requests that God should forgive the Jewish people. At the end of those 40 days, he comes down and he says, "Vayomer Hashem salachti kidvarecha, you have now been forgiven." And then he goes up for yet another 40 days and he asks that the Ribono Shel Olam give us a second chance at accepting the Luchos. So that third stage of 40 days is not... Shouldn't be a surprise to you, but those third set of 40 days were beginning on Chodesh Elul, and they commenced with, I'm sorry, and they ended with Yom HaKippurim. The 40 days later were Yom Kippur. And since then, this has already become an auspicious and an opportune time. This was the time that Moshe Rabbeinu asked that the Jewish people should have a second chance, and his wish was granted to him. So since the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, this period of 40 days beginning with Rosh Chodesh Elul and culminating in Yom HaKippurim has become a time when we also have the opportunity to ask for a second chance at life. Let's look at the words of the Chayei Adam. Chayei Adam, Rav Avraham Dantzig, lived in the 1700s. He passed away in the mid-1800s. The Chayei Adam was one of the foremost commentators on Shulchan Aruch. Before the Mishneh Berurah came around, nowadays we all learn Mishneh Berurah, but before the Mishneh Berurah came around, the Chayei Adam was the foremost commentator that everybody used to follow. So let's read what the Chayei Adam gives us is supposed to be the mindset, is supposed to be the perspective that we have on this time of year, in this point in our lives in Chodesh Elul. Be'avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Am Yisrael, because of the deep-seated love that God has for the chosen people, if we can please ask that everybody shut off their cell phones. Give everyone 30 seconds to do that, not looking up. But let's do that so we don't have any interruptions. Thank you. Ba'avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Am Yisrael, because of God's deep-seated love to his people, Hir B'Lehetiv Itanu, he has chosen to do something very special to us, to give us a gift. V'tzivanu Lashuv Lefanav B'chal Eis Shenachto. And he has instructed us that we should repent any time that we make a mistake. Va'af shehat tshuva tova b'chal eis, even though tshuva is something worthwhile at any period in our lives, at any point in the calendaric year, mikal makom chodesh elul hu muvchar umuchan yoser shetekubel tshuvaso. Chodesh elul is singled out as the time that we have more of an opportunity for our tshuva to be accepted. Mishar yamos hashana, more so than at any other time during the year. Lefishe yamim elu heim yimei ratzam, because these days are days of restoration. They are days of reconciliation. Me'ei shenivcharu la'am. This already started at the time that we became a nation. When was that? We became a nation on the occasion of Kabbalah Satorah on Har Sinai. We became a nation when Moshe Rabbeinu was begging that God should give us yet another chance at life. And then, already this period of 40 days had been set aside as the time for Yemei Ratzon. Shekeshachati Yisrael Be'egel, he gives us a little bit of a history lesson. When the Jewish people fell into that terrible mistake of serving the Egel Hazav, v'nishtabru haluchos, and as a consequence of that terrible act, the luchos were then broken, b'shiva aser b'tamuz. Achare Kain, after that happened, ala Moshe v'hispala, Moshe goes again for the second time up to heaven to ask for forgiveness for the Jewish people. Va'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a printing mistake, it's not pasal lecha, but it's psal lecha. You should carve out for yourself, without the vav, carve out for yourself a second set of luchos. I'm going to give you another chance. V'nisratze litein lo luchos shnios. And God was appeased, and he allowed the Jewish people to have a second acceptance of the luchos once again. V'az Allah b'Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up once again on Rosh Chodesh Elul, v'nishtaha sham ad Yom HaKippurim, and he remains in heaven until Yom Kippur Shehaya Gemar HaKapara. Yom Kippur was the culmination of this process of Moshe Rabbeinu asking for forgiveness for the Jewish people and asking that they have another chance. V'isa b'tana deve Eliyahu. Now the Chayyadim quotes something from the Tana deve Eliyahu, which is a passage written by Eliyahu HaNavi. It's a very credible source. And when you hear something from Eliyahu HaNavi, you should probably listen to it. So what do we know from Eliyahu HaNavi? Yisrael ha-yunogim kal-osam ha-yamim tzom v'tanis. Eliyahu HaNavi clues us in to what was happening to the Jewish people at the time when Moshe was up in the mountain. When Moshe was begging for the forgiveness, for a second chance, what was everybody doing down below? They didn't have a Torah. They didn't have the Luchos. What were they doing all day long? Says Eliyahu HaNavi, what they were busy with was Hayunogim kol osam hayamim tzom vitanis. They were sitting all those 40 days in fasting. V'yom ha'acharon shebekulam, and the final day of that set of 40 days, dehainu ba'asar b'tishrei, and the 10th of Tishrei is better known as Yom Kippur. Gazru tainis v'lanu b'tainis. The Jewish people as a whole took upon themselves that they were going to fast, not only during the day, but at night as well. If people want to move up, if it's easier to write on a table, plenty of spaces here, you can move up from the back. We'll wait. No? Is it not easier? It's too cold here? Okay. Someone said we have to make Young Yisrael Wudmir sweatshirts. It's true. Ulefikach, and therefore, because the Jewish people decided amongst themselves that they were going to have Yom Kippur as the day that they were going to fast, in order that they should be accepted. Because of that, Nikva Osa Yom Dehainu Yom HaKippurim L'Chapara Li'Olam, which is a fascinating comment of Eliyahu HaNavi. If I would have read the Psukim in Chumash, I would have said, God tells us that Yom Kippur is the day of Slicha and Kapara. But Eliyahu HaNavi teaches us no. The reason why it became set in the calendar as a day of Kapara is because we invested in that day. Because we infuse that day with those abilities. And therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi teaches us, Elefisha hayu yamim elu yimei ratzon me'az. Since already from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, this set of 40 days has become a set of days that has been set aside for yimei ratzon, for days that God wants reconciliation. Lachein b'chal shana v'shana misorer od harachamim lamala v'heim yimei haratzon. Therefore, every year when this time of the year comes around, we have the opportunity to once again reawaken those incredible spirits that were infused into the days from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's a very insightful comment, yeah? I actually wrote it down. I wasn't sure whether somebody would ask. So the second, no, it's good that you're asking. The second time that he goes up, It ends on Chav Ches Av. That was when Moshe Rabbeinu finished the 40 days. So if you backtrack 40 days before then, when was Moshe Rabbeinu?
But once they go up immediately, or
what was that?
They go up immediately on
Yud Zayin. Shivasa right. So 40 days is until...
Right away?
Yeah, he went back right away. And then he comes down on Chav Ches Ba'av, and the assumption is that Tammuz was a Chodesh Chaser, the same way we have nowadays. Tammuz was then, so that's 40 days. So it's a good question. But that's...
I was wondering if there was a coincidence of Shabbat, but Tammuz also, but in the future...
Right. Not at all. Not at all a coincidence. This is something that has been set aside. So we're in this period of 40 days, which are known as the Yemei HaRatzon and the Yemei Hatshuva. Rabbi Yitzchak Petterberger, whose real name was Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer, he lived in St. Petersburg, so they called him Rabbi Yitzchak Petterberger. He was one of the foremost Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was the founder of the Musar movement in the 1800s. So Rabbi Yitzchak Petterberger pointed out that if in the days of yore they used to feel that you need 40 days in order to prepare oneself for the Yamim Hanoraim, we need from the start of Elul all the way through Yom HaKippurim in order to get ourselves ready for Tshuva and Kapara, he says, imagine us, we have to start already on Tu B'Shvat to get ourselves ready. Now, obviously, that's an exaggeration, and it's something that we have not done, but let's at least make sure that we take advantage, as Chodesh Elul has already begun. Let us at least make sure that we take advantage of all the time that is in front of us, and use it to the max, and use it as much as we possibly can to our benefit and to our advantage. And that's what I want to learn through today, some very important pieces that helped myself frame what exactly Elul is about. It gave me a little bit of a new perspective and something interesting to consider, and I welcome your consideration for the same. So let's begin with a piece by Reb Shimshon Pinkus. Reb Shimshon Pinkus was a prolific speaker. He was a prolific writer and a prolific speaker. Much of his writings came out after he unfortunately passed away in a very untimely fashion. He was in a car accident that killed, I think, both him and his wife and a few of his children. So he was born in 1944. He passed away in 2001. And since his passing in 2001, much of his writings have been written by others. And he has very beautiful thoughts. So here, I think he gives us an idea that gives us a lot to consider. And he starts off as follows. B'divrei ha-navi yeshno bitui. There's an expression that the Navi uses, which is, lo zeh ha-derech ve-lo zeh ha-ir. The Navi is not referring to, not at all to our discussion, but the Navi writes, lo zeh ha-derech ve-lo zeh ha-ir. This is not the road, this is not the path, and this is not the ultimate destination, this is not the city. Nitan lilmod midvarim elu shel hanavi. We can glean from the words of the Navi, shekedei lahasig matara kol shehi b'chayim, that in order to reach any objective, any intended goal in life, yesh lekvoa meirosh, we first have to map out, hein es hamatara, vehein es haemtsayim hanachonim hamovilim eleha. We have to, number one, set aside what the appropriate and necessary steps and channels are toward the goal, and what the objective and the goal actually is. And he categorizes that this is what the Navi means. When he says, lo zeh ha-derech ve-lo zeh ha-ir, it means you are so off base, not only are you not looking at the goal and objective, but you're also not taking the appropriate channels and steps to get yourself anywhere near there. And he goes with that assumption into the following discussion. When we come to a Chodesh Elul, when we come to a Rosh Hashanah and to a Yom Kippur and to the season of year that we're all living through now, what is the goal? What is the objective? And what are the steps, what are the channels, what are the venues that we need to go through to get ourselves there? And I think it's a very important question. I think we often go through this time of year and we just, maybe we say Slichos, maybe we don't, maybe we say L'David Hashem Ori, maybe we don't, we daven a Rosh Hashanah, we have all kinds of things that we have in mind, and we never think about what exactly the objective of all of this that we're doing really is. So you'll think, most simply, it's tshuva. That's the objective, that's the end goal. And he's going to suggest that that's not at all the end goal. Tshuva is one of the steps that we take to get toward the intended goal, but tshuva itself is not the objective. So let's read as follows. Rosh Chodesh Elul hu tchilaso shel derech. Rosh Chodesh Elul is the rudimentary stage. That's the prelude to everything that we're starting to do. Ulam haderech hi aruka ve'echos uvekames. We're going down a very windy and difficult road. Tamrui haderech heim etzem yemei Chodesh Elul. What are the signs? What are the signals? What are the posts along the way that show us whether or not we're going in the right place? Whether or not we're involved in the right kinds of activities? Those are Chodesh Elul, Tekiyas Shofar, L'daven Hashem Ori, Slichos, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, Yom HaKippurim, Sukkis, Hoshana Rabbah, V'Simchas Torah. Those are all the signposts along the way that guide us toward whether or not we're going in the right direction. So God set up for us all these different things along the way to make sure that we stay in the right path, but what is that path leading to? Kulanu Makirim Es Tamruei HaDerech. We are all familiar with these different stops that we have along the way. V'yodim sha'aleinu l'ulmod Torah yoser b'hasmada. We know that we are supposed to be committing ourselves at this time to a more fervent commitment to the Torah and everything that it stands for. Yodim sha'aleinu l'ma'ed b'dvarim b'teilim. We know that at this time of year we should probably speak less lashon hara. We should be wasting less of our time. Yodim sha'rosh Hashanah hu yom nora v'ayom. We are very well aware of the fact that Rosh Hashanah is a powerful, is an awesome day. Yodim sha'aseres yimei tshuva heim yamim atzumim shel siyata d'shmaya. We are all well aware that the aseres yimei tshuva that come in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim are days of incredible gifts that God has given us. V'yodim, and we know ultimately sheyom HaKippurim hu yom HaKadosh. We know that Yom Kippur is the ultimate, most sanctified, most holy day of the year. Kulanu yodim haderech. This is nothing new to us. Makirim es ha'emtzayim ha'movilim el ha'matara. We know all of the things along the way that get us there. Aval mahi ha'ir. But what is the objective? What are we trying to get to? And I think it's a very poignant question. Mahi ha'matara elehu anu shoafim lahagia biyamim ha'niflaim ha'elu. What is the objective that we're trying so hard to get to in these incredibly awesome and uplifting days? Hare anu mukhrachim likva le'atzmenu mahi matarasenu. We need to decide for ourselves individually and collectively what the destination is. What is the goal? Le'eza ir anu rotzim lahagia. To which city are we trying to travel? She'im lokein, because if we don't do that, le'olam lo nagia l'sham. If we don't set out the objective, how are we supposed to know whether or not we'll be successful? You give somebody a job, and you want to figure out whether or not they have been successful in that job, but you have no job expectation. You don't give them anything to measure themselves whether or not they're doing a good job. So how can you evaluate how good of a job they've done? How can we evaluate whether or not we have accomplished the goal if we don't even know what the goal is? If we never set aside time to figure out what it is that we're trying to get to, how will we know whether or not we've gotten there? And he adds that we daven avinu malkenu, na al tishivenu rekam milfanecha. We plead with God and we ask him, please don't allow that we should walk away empty-handed from everything that we are trying to accomplish. If you want God to make sure that you don't walk away empty-handed, you have to figure out, when will you be satisfied? What is considered coming away full from this experience? And only then can you know whether or not God has answered your prayers. When we say, na'al teshiveni reikam lefanecha, doesn't just mean, give me a good life. Give my children everything that they need. Provide my family with everything we ask for. That's not all we request in this tefillah of Avinu Malkeinu. Na'al teshiveni reikam lefanecha means we ask God in a very serious way, don't allow us to go through this period of year without taking anything from it. And if we want that, we should walk away with something tangible from this time of year, we have to figure out what it is that we're looking to get at this time of year. So we look at the next paragraph. Vihine. Bisof haderech, at the end of all of this travel that we're going to be through in the next few weeks, acharei chodesh elul, after we've successfully completed a chodesh elul, a Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkis, magia simchas. And that, he argues, is the ultimate. Simchas Torah is the objective. It's not Rosh Hashanah. It's not Yom Kippur. It's not everything else we would have thought. It's Simchas Torah. B'simchas Torah nahagu liftoach b'pasuk. We start off our celebration on Simchas Torah with the following pasuk. Ata hare saladas. We have all heard this by the Hakafas. This is the first pasuk that we proclaim. Ata hare saladas. Now we have come to an understanding. Ki Hashem hu Elokim, that God is the one who runs the world. He is the Almighty. He is the All-Powerful. Ein od milvado. There is nothing else in the world other than God Himself. Amar pam echad migidoli Yisrael. One of the great leaders of the Jewish people once commented, Shehatachlis shel kol hamareches, that the objective of all of the process that we are now going through and all that we are wishing for is Shemaschila b'chodesh Elul Mamshicha b'chol yamim hanoram, that begins with the month of Elul and carries us through the experience of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkis. All of that is just for the objective of Lehagia l'Simchas Torah, that we get ourselves to the point of Simchas Torah. Toch hakaras v'habas ha'amiti yoshel Ata harei saladas ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od milado. Everything that we work for, everything that we are trying to accomplish, is to come to that ultimate understanding, to that recognition, to that appreciation, that Hashem hu Elokim ein od milvado. That's what this whole period of year is meant to accomplish. It's that simple. That is the year. That is the destination. And when you think about it, you wonder, what exactly does it mean to come to the realization, to come to the recognition that Ein Od Milvado, it is God and only God, there is nothing else in the world. I've always been inspired by something Rav Soloveitchik wrote, here we're going to go off the beaten path a little bit. We're taking a break from Rav Pinkus' words, and I brought something that I think Rav Soloveitchik gives us a definition of what it means to be subservient, what it means to be closely connected to God. What does it mean, Ein od milvada? What does it mean that God is the only presence in the world? Does that mean that all of us are now to be forgotten? Does that mean all of us are out of the equation? Does it mean we have no place in this world because everything is about God? I'm not allowed to worry about myself. I'm not allowed to provide for myself. What does it mean to come to the realization that Ein od milvado? There is nothing in the world other than God Himself. And I've always found this beautiful piece by Rav Soloveitchik to be a little bit helpful in defining the terms for us. So he writes in the book, it was originally in Hebrew, V'kashtem Misham, and you will seek him from there. And then it was subsequently translated into English, a beautiful book, as all of his books are. And he writes as follows. Mystical philosophers long for immersion in the silence of absolute unity. The three dots means there were a lot of complicated words, so I just took them out, and we went a little further. So basically he's contrasting what it means, the philosophy of all those philosophers outside of our religion. And what does our religion believe it means to have absolute unity? What does it mean to have Ein od milvado, to come to the realization that there is only one God and He is the only one that we should be focused on? What does that mean to us? And what does that mean to the philosophers all over the world? And he suggests the following. Judaism directed by Halacha says, this is not the way. First of all, one cannot speak of man uniting with God. There's no such thing as I am going to be united with God. I'm a finite being, God is the ultimate infinite. That's not the way we describe our terms of Ein od milvado, that everything about me is going to be united with Him. It's not the correct term. But only of man cleaving to God. You look carefully in the psukim, what are we told? Ve'atem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem. It doesn't mean you will be one with Him, it means you will connect with Him, you will cleave to Him. Dveikus means food. You will be coalesced with Him. Uvo Sidbuk, last week's parsha, we're told, you will have a relationship with Him in which you will be close. It doesn't mean you will be one, it means you will be close. Second, he suggests, man does not cleave to God by denying His actual essence. I think this is such an important and powerful sentence. Man does not cleave to God by denying His actual essence, but on the contrary, by affirming His own essence. What is the ultimate way for me to express how much I appreciate God and how much I feel connected with Him? The actual multicolored human personality becomes closer to God when the individual lives his own variegated original life filled with goals, initiative, and activity without imagining some prideful, insolent, independent. Anyone understands what that means? Then and only then does the personality begin to have a divine existence, meaning we are not asked to squash ourselves in the presence of God. We are not asked to ignore ourselves in the presence of God. That's not what Ein od milvado means. It doesn't mean that we don't have a place in the world. Judaism insists that destroying man's uniqueness and originality does not bring man closer to God. It's a very important statement. As the mystics amend, many other philosophers felt that the only way to be close to Him is bitul hayesh, to get rid of myself, not to think about myself at all. And Rav Soloveitchik points out to us that that is not the Torah Hashkafa. Again, Judaism insists that destroying man's uniqueness and originality does not bring man closer to God, as the mystics imagine. Man's road to God does not wind through faraway hidden places on which man concentrates on the mysterious pyre in which his individuality goes up in flames, but rather, he suggests, among the spaces of real being filled with movement and transformation. Judaism here decreed that man cleaves to God through the full realization of his personality by uncovering all of the possibilities latent in the depths of his being. And I think it's a very important perspective to have. It means that our hashkafa is, when we think about Ein od milvado, when we think about what it means to have a relationship and to understand what it means, the uniqueness and the unity of the Ribono Shel Olam in this world, it means to acknowledge, to determine, to recognize and to appreciate all of the talent, all of the skills, all of the aptitudes, and everything that God gave us, all of our competencies and all of our capabilities, to develop all of those, to channel everything that we have, and to transmit all of those abilities to further the will of God in this world. That's what it means to be an Eved Hashem. That's what it means to come to the realization that Ein Od Mavado. It doesn't mean that I don't exist. It doesn't mean that I have to squash everything that I represent and everything that I'm about. It means that I am an embodiment of everything that God represents because He gave me so much talent. And I am supposed to bring all of that forth to further all that God wishes for this world to have. And myself and all of us are the conduits of doing so. That Rav Soloveitchik explains is what it means, Ein Od Mavado. And now we go back to the Hebrew, Im Kein. And if this is the case, Nitan Lomar, we have the ability to say, Sheba'ofan Klali, that in general, Hamatarashan Ushafim Aleha, the goal that we are trying to reach, Hi Hakara She'ein Od Mavado, Zohi Yair, that is our destination. That is what we are trying to get to at this time of year, that Ein Od Mavado. It is all God and it is only God and there is nothing else that we are supposed to be considering in our lives at this point. Ulam, ba'ofen prati, specifically, adayin aleinu likvoa la'atzmeinu, we still have to determine for ourselves, matara ma'asit u'migderet yoser. We still have to figure out a more practical, a more operative way of getting ourselves toward that goal. So what does it mean? I'm supposed to come to the realization, a very lofty goal. Come to the realization, Ein Od Mavado. How do you do that? Yeah, easy. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Elul, Sukkot. Very easy. What does that mean practically for any of us? What does that mean? How does this help us get there? How does everything that we do? Yeah, I say Slichos, I flip the pages, I wake up early. What does that help for any of us to come to the realization that Ein Od Mavado? All I come to the realization when I come to Slichos for most of us is that I'm really exhausted. And it doesn't help me at all to figure out how I'm going to more deeply understand this idea of Ein Od Mavado. And he continues as follows. We take it a step further. And again, we're working to clearly define what is the derech and what is the year that we are all traveling toward and the journey and the destination that we are all on right now. Hine, b'chol mahalach avodas Hashem. Whenever a person thinks about all of the service to God that we do throughout the year, b'mahalchem shalimet ha-Torah shmiras ha-mitzvahs, all the Torah that we learn, all the mitzvahs that we perform. Yeshno kushya gadola, there is a very important question that one can ask themselves. Ha-kushya hi, and that question is as follows. Hare ha-Torah nitna l'doros kedumim. Who was the Torah given to? Torah was given many generations ago, kedoshe elyon, to people who are on the loftiest plateau that our nation has ever known. HaTorah nitna l'dor mekabli HaTorah b'Sinai. These were people who heard the mouth of God speak at Har Sinai. L'dor dea sha'ayin ba'ayin ro, es kala osos v'hamovsim shal yitzias Mitzrayim. We're dealing with a group of people who experienced all the incredible miracles and wonders of Yitzias Mitzrayim. They are the ones who were singled out to be given the Torah. Har Sinai, v'rasa shivcha layam, the Gemara tells us, that which the simplest person who went across by the Kriyas Yamsuf, that revelation that the simplest person saw is something that even the greatest Navi Yecheskel never saw in his lifetime. These are the kind of people that accepted the Torah. Look at the next paragraph. Im Kein. Flip the page for anyone who's still with us. Im Kein, if this is true, Ketzad niten letzapos me'itanu haktanim v'hadalim. How can God seriously expect from us, simple people, l'kayim es osa ha-Torah va'osan ha-mitzvah shahutelu al ha-nashim v'doros she'ein lanu afilu me'ein de'me'ein shal dargasam? How can God expect those of us who aren't even a fraction of understanding of the level of the people who accepted the Torah itself? God set an expectation for those people. How does He expect of us to keep the same Torah that they were keeping? I think important question. We had great people throughout our history, but they never had the challenges that we have. How does the Torah not change the expectation given the generation that we live in? There has never been a generation with as much difficulty as we have, with as much challenge. How could it be that God feels we have the same expectation of all of us as he had for the times of the people who accepted the Torah itself? Would any of us consider ourselves to be in the same level of piety as Rabbi Akiva Eiger or the Gaon Mivilna? We know that we are not on their level. We know that we are not in the same league as they are. In Canaan, if that is the case, Ketzad Mitzapim Meitanu, Lekayam Es Osam Hadvarim Shetzipu Midorah Shel Harishonim Kimalach. How could God possibly expect of us to do the same thing that they all did? Hare Hadavar Lechora Einar Tafer Lefi Midasenu. It's as if you give somebody a dress that just totally doesn't fit them. You have a certain size and somebody drops off a dress that doesn't fit you at all. You wouldn't even think of wearing it. So how does God not tailor the Torah a little bit for our generation? And how is the expectation at the same level as it always was? Hatshuvahi, the answer is as follows. She'en achinami. You're correct. Ein ze bekocheinu l'kayim es ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvos. You're right. You're right. We don't have the ability to perform all of the Torah and all of the mitzvahs. Hadavar min nisgav me'itanu. This is so beyond anyone's imagination. This is so beyond, it surpasses, it exceeds anyone's understanding. V'im kein. And if living this life is so beyond our expectation and so beyond anything that we would ever be able to accomplish on our own, Choseres Hasheela B'Yeser Seis, we're back to the problem we started with. Eich Mitzapim Me'itanu V'Dorshim Zos Me'itanu. How is it possible that God can expect all of this from us if we know that it is an impossibility? What is our job and how are we supposed to perform it? How is it possible for us to make God happy? Listen to the following mashal. Ein lanu ela lahamshil lakachas hamashal haba. The way to understand this is to understand the following story. Be'echad mibatei hacholim, a very interesting story. In one of the very famous hospitals, haisa machlaka shenoada avur cholim b'machala kashe b'miyuchad. There was a specialized, a designated unit for those patients who were gravely ill, who had really threatening illnesses. Be'echad halelot, one night, ha'amidu rofei chadash l'toranut b'machlaka. So you have a new intern, comes in, first night on the job, and they put him in this ward in the hospital, the oncology ward. First night on the job, he's the only one there, and he has no experience. Ba'osa eis, ha'machlaka haita tfusa ad efes makom. To his chagrin, to his bad luck, there is not an empty bed in that ward in the hospital that night. It is mobbed. It is brimming with people. Becholim mesukanim, and every single one of those beds is taken by somebody who is so seriously wounded, who has terrible infliction of pain, who has an awful condition and a terrible prognosis. V'hinei arofei hachadash amad navuch. He is aghast. He is beside himself. He's flustered. Ketzad yitapel levado b'chol chole hamachlaka. How is he possibly going to care and manage and tend to all of those people who are so gravely sick in this ward, in the hospital? He calls in the supervisor and he tells them, hey, this is really irresponsible. You're designating me to be the one in charge of this ward. I have never been here before. There's not an empty bed. There's nobody else to cover me tonight. I don't know what I'm doing. Achem hishivulo. They respond to him, yeah, we understand the problem, but ain't breira. You got to jump in. Yesh machzor berofim. There is a shortage of doctors tonight. V'yev shalemanos yoser mirofe echa l'torah nut laila. We can't set aside more than one person to be on the night shift. Savir la'aniach. They calm him down and they say, you can assume shehalayla yaver b'sheket. Look, most of the patients sleep through the night. So you can assume that it will be a very subdued, a very quiet evening. It will be peaceful. You're only here for an emergency. Nisu lahagirotso, they try and calm him down. And they tell him, im tesor baya, if something comes up and you have a real emergency that you don't know how to handle, titkasher miyad lahazik tagburis, call us immediately to bring you backup assistance. Call us that we should bring you relief, we should bring you support, we should come in, we should bring in other doctors that will be able to stand in your place and help you out. And of course, Raketchila HaTorunut Shela, his shift begins, V'Hatzaros Hischilu Latzutz. And 5 minutes into the shift, all the machines are beeping and the lights are flashing and the whole floor is going crazy and the nurses are running back and forth. Chola achar chola hisoru. One patient starts waking up, then the next one wakes up, and every room, one after the other, everybody's waking up from their sleep. Im sibuchim kashim, not just waking up complaining of pain. Everybody's having complications. All the machines are beeping. He doesn't know what to do. Harofei atzair matza es atzma misrotetz michola lechola. He's uninterruptedly running from one room to another. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He hears the beeping from this side of the hall. He runs to the other side of the hall. He's trying to get everything he can. Umetapabam kemeti vichalto. He's giving them everything that he has. Efes kikal chosav hayudale midai. He's running out of steam. It's 3:30 in the morning. He hasn't slept all night. He hasn't even taken a break. He's been running around. Nisyona muat midai. His experience in this kind of ward is awful to begin with. Unfortunately, he is unable to provide all of the sick patients with everything that they need. It's not possible. Lifnos boker, ira ha'ason. Close to the end of his shift, the unimaginable happens. Ba'od hu mismodei levado b'sheiris kochosav, as he is trying to get through his shift with every last bit of energy that he has, lahanik es hatipul hadarish lechola ploni, as he's trying to administer the treatments to this sick patient that he's dealing with, meis chola acher b'machlaka. A patient at the other side of the ward loses his life. Terem hitzliach la'agia elav. I'm not crying for the patient. Another patient passes away before he has a chance to even get to the room. Kedei lahanik lo es hatipul shehu zakuk lo noa noshut. He is desperately in need of the treatment. The doctor was busy with another one of the patients. Just wasn't able to take care of him. And the patient loses his life. Tavu es harofe lemishpat. They summon this doctor to court. They want to have a hearing. Manslaughter. Medical malpractice. Ba'ashmas rashlanut rifuit. Negligence. Look what happened. A patient dies under your watch. We're going to prosecute you. Bibeit ha-mishpat ne'amad harofe ha-ne'asham. Here he is in court and he stands up. Vitan belak, and he emphatically screams at everybody in the court and he says, Avadati b'misiras nefesh mamish. Ask all the nurses who were there. They saw I didn't sleep for 1 second that night. I didn't even take a break to take a snack. I was running back and forth. I was doing everything I possibly could. Ratzti mimita lamita. I was running around from one room to the next. Lo nachti kala laila. Haim niten lahashim osi. Are you really going to prosecute me? Are you really going to indict me for this? Hare pashit lo hispakti lahagia lo sachol hashemes. It was physically, humanly impossible for me to have gotten to him. I did everything I could. How are you going to prosecute me for this? What have I done wrong? And the judge gets up and he says, Ana hashofet. A powerful response. Hare amrulach. Didn't the supervisor tell you before you started your shift? Shem lo tistader. That if you won't be able to do everything on your own, Tazik Tagburas, you should call up for backup assistance. Mi bikesh mimcha lenasos lehistader levad. Who asked you to try to be Superman? Who asked you to try to do this all on your own? Who told you to work yourself to the point where you have no more energy and you cannot provide for the sick patients? Ata Hashem, why are you responsible? Why are we prosecuting you? Hayos velo his akta esa tegburis shahaya alecha lahazik. You are held accountable and responsible because you had the ability to call for support, to call for relief, to call for assistance, and you chose not to. And that says Rav Shimshon Pinkus, v'chein b'diyuk yomar kavayachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chol echad ve'echad me'itanu. This is precisely what God will say to each and every one of us. Lo histadarta levadcha ba'avodas Hashem? You think it's too difficult to serve God. And it is. It's not in our power. It's beyond our abilities. The Torah was given to a generation that was so far beyond where we are. It's an impossibility for us to keep to every law of the Torah. It's too difficult. But God says to us, Mi bikesh mimcha lehitmodei levad? Who asked you to manage this all by yourself? Hare limdu oscha sheyesh borei olam. Don't you know that there's backup assistance that you could have called at any time to help you? Haya alecha lahazik osi velomar. All you had to do was call out to me and say, Ani lo mistader, God help me. I can't do it on my own. Do you know the temptation of speaking Lashon Hara nowadays? Did the Vilna Gaon live in a generation where we have blogs? He didn't have the challenge we have. Did anybody live in the generation with all the temptations that we have? Nobody did. Ani lo mistader levad, God. I can't do it on my own. Ta'azorli, help me. Ilu ha'yisa noe kach, God says, had you only called out for backup assistance, for support, az kavayachal ha'yisi ba elecha, I would have come to you, I would have held your hand, and I would have helped you walk through the maze of life. And you are held accountable because you chose not to call for assistance. You are held accountable because you chose to ignore the fact that God was available to help you at any stage in the process, whenever things were difficult. Emes mutal aleinu lahachin la'atzmenu tachnit la'avodoseinu haruchanit. Yes, we are supposed to try our best to figure out a plan of how we are going to fulfill all the rules of the Torah. Ach, however, misha somech ala tochniot shelo, somebody who relies on their own competence, on their own capacities, v'choshev, and they ridiculously think, Shebekochos atzmo yucha lavedas Hashem yizbar kara, you think you are going to serve the Ribbono shel Olam properly, just based on your own understanding, based on your own abilities, based on your own aptitudes, Eino elatoa, you are delusional. Ein lanu es hakoach l'kayim es osa ha-torah ves osan ha-mitzvos. We don't have the ability, it's an impossibility for us to perform those mitzvos the same way previous generations did, and God doesn't expect it from us. God expects that all we're going to do is ask for His assistance. Hold our hand. Ani lo mistader levad. I cannot do it on my own. Just help me out to get to where I need to. You know, I was thinking, it's not such a foreign concept, because you think through the Shemona Esrei that we say every single day. Why do we say, Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha? Please return us, allow us to do tshuva. What do you mean? Set aside time in your day and do tshuva. What does that have to do with God? Hashiveinu avinu, God should return us. We should return ourselves. And what's clear is that it's an impossibility for us to do it on our own. We all know how difficult it is to break out of a habit and to break out of something that we've become used to, and therefore we cry out to God and we say, You help us. Hashiveinu avinu l'sarasecha. How many of us think about those words? That's exactly what he's describing here. That if we don't think about those words, it's an impossibility for us to do it on our own. Psach libi b'sarasecha. We ask God in Elokai Netzar. Open up our hearts to appreciate and understand what the Torah is. Open up your own heart. God should open our hearts? Yes. Because without God's intervention, without Him opening up our hearts, we cannot do it on our own. Elokai Netzor Lishoni Meira. God, please save my lips from speaking bad, from speaking words that I should not speak. Save your own lips from speaking bad. Don't talk so much. What does that have to do with God? You're in control of your own life. But no, we know how difficult it is. We know that it's almost impossible. And therefore we call out to God and we say, we need you. Ani lo mistader levad. I cannot perform this on my own. I cannot accomplish the goal on my own. I need you to come and hold my hand and make sure that I don't fall in to that mistake of using my speech improperly. I need you to come and hold my hand to do the tshuva process because I cannot do it on my own. I need you to open my heart in order to appreciate and understand what your Torah stands for and what it represents, because on my own I cannot do that. This, I think, is a very powerful perspective, and I think it's something to consider. We know that Elul stands for many different things, and probably the most famous that people mention is Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. What does it mean to be the beloved of the Ribbono Shel Olam? What does it mean to be in a relationship with Him? Rabbi Shalom Shvadron, who was one of the greatest Maidim of the previous generation, he used to say over the following story. And I think this story gives us a little bit of a perspective of what our relationship is supposed to be. He writes as follows. It's quoted in the Sefer Lekach Tov. Bali Musar Omer Mesamashal Haba. The Bali Musar tell us the following beautiful parable. Al Sfas Hayam Abba Nar Bodeid Kishuhu Machzik Degel B'Yado. On the bank of a river, there's a young child standing by himself with a little orange flag. Ve'einav Nesuas Le'Ever Hayam, and he's looking out deep into the ocean. B'merchak Musuyam Imenu, in a certain distance away from him on the bank of the river. Sihaku B'Shovavus Na'arim Chavre Hanar Habodeid. There's a whole group of friends of this young child who are playing the way children always play. Achulo Sama Libo Aleim. He doesn't pay attention to them at all. V'hibit kal eis l'kivon hayam ha-pasuach. He is concentrated, he is focused only on the tremendous ocean that is in front of him. Nigash elav adam uvugar v'shalo. An adult comes over to him and approaches and asks the following. Na'arza, your young child, madua eincha mitzdarif el chaveirecha ha-misachkim u'mishtashim lo harchek mimcha? Why don't you go and join your friends? They're playing like children always play. What are you doing here? Why are you looking out into the ocean? What are you focusing on? There's nothing there. And he responds, "Ein shati penuya lemischim hei shivanar. I don't have time for these games. I'm busy. Ani mamtin la'aniyaha tida la'avur kan. I am waiting for the boat that's going to pass here. And kasher ha'aniyat tagia, when the boat passes this ocean, anif es hadegel shebiyadi, I'm going to wave the small flag in my hand. And you're not going to believe it. V'rav ha'chovel, and the captain, the cadet of the ship, yashuv li benifnuf diglo, he is going to wave back his flag at me too. Lishma advarim, when the adult heard this, chiyech ha'ish v'amalo, the man began to smile at him, and he said, Eichin chamala al daitecha davar kazeh, you are hallucinating. Hare ha'aniyot enan yicholos klal hiskarev alachok, the boats, the cruise line ships, cannot come anywhere near this part of the river. You're at the bank of the ocean. It's too shallow for them. There is a big cruise line ship. The captain of the ship is not even going to look in your direction. He won't even notice you. Look how small you are, and look how big he is, and look how far away he's going to be. Ubevada yilo yagiv lahanafas hadegel shalcha. He's certainly not going to react, he's not going to respond, and he's not going to acknowledge the fact that you waved your little flag. Leich efo lesachek im chaverecha. Why don't you just go and do what children do, instead of wasting your time here on the bank of the river and waiting for the boat? And the child responds, you're right. Zohi b'diyuk hasvina shani mechakela. That is exactly the boat that I'm waiting for. The cruise line ship that you just mentioned. Heishiv ayelet belahat. Ani mitzapeh b'kotzer ruach. I am waiting so impatiently. L'rega shabo ucha lahanef esadega shali. I'm so excited that I'm going to wave my flag. U'bitchoni. I am confident. I am positive. Sherav hachovel. That captain. Shel hasvina hagdola hazu. Of that huge ship. Yashiv li b'hanef esadegel. He will respond to me and wave his flag back. Zemuguchach amar lo ha'ish. You're crazy. Why do you think that's going to happen? Ki rav hachovel shel haniyah hagedola hazu. Do you know that he is an adam chashuv? He is a high-ranking captain. Do you know he has won so many awards in his life? Do you know how important he is? Misupkani, I doubt him. Hu yachal liros oscham imercha kol rav. I doubt whether or not he'll even be able to notice you from such a distance. Umikamakom. Eneni yachol lalos b'dayti siba kol shiyishe b'glalo hu yistake l'kibun hazeh b'chlal. I can't even imagine why he would look at this side of the ocean. He's traveling east-west, you happen to be north. Why would he even look in this direction at all? Barur li hitake shanar. The child objects and he says, absolutely, shalo zu b'lvad shu yichapis osi. Not only is he going to look out for me, not only is he going to look this way, Ela kasher yira osi menif es hadega l'umasa. When he sees that I wave the flag at him, hu yismach me'od, he is going to be so happy. Ki hu yavin, because he will understand shahadegel, he no bitui legagui elav. He will understand that this is an expression of my feelings, of my fondness, of my longing to him. Ukubitur the simchas of avasa shatisparitz, and as a way of expressing how happy and pleased he is with my being here, Gam hu yunofef li bediglo, he will react and wave his flag back at me. Amar hayeled bibitachon rav, the child responds in a very assured manner. And the man goes back and he says to him, Ketzad hincha yachal lios batuach kolkach b'masha ote omer. How are you so sure that you're correct? Hibit hayeled be'enei ha'ish hatama. The child looks back with a sweet, bibas panav amar, with a sweet and innocent face, he says, Bepne sherav hachovel hu avi. Because the captain of that ship is my father. And we made up in advance that I'm going to wait for him. He's away for a long time, and he's going to miss me. And we made up in advance that when he passes this place, I'm going to wave the flag at him, and my beloved father will show how much he loves me back. Kulanu banim lamakam kedugmas hanar sha'al hachof. We are all children of that incredible captain, so to speak. We are the child of the Rav HaChovel, of that captain, of that cadet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu barov ahavaso osano, because God loves us so much. Michapes osano mimechon shifto begave meromim. God looks from deep out in the ocean, and he's waiting to see if his child is going to be there, standing with the flag, waiting for him. He's searching for us. Humitzapet lanu b'chal hashana. He waits for us all year long. Uvimiyuchad, but particularly bimei elo shehem yimei harachamim. Mahu mitzapet liros etzleinu. What does God wish to see in us? He waits to see bitui shal gaguim v'ratzon l'hiskare v'lov. He waits to see our expressions of longing, of languish, of wishfulness, of aspiration, of pining, of yearning to him. V'zohi mashmaos ani l'dodi. That's what it means, ani l'dodi. God sits out so far away from us, and he just waits, and he wonders, and he watches to see, is there anybody who cares to involve me in their life? Is there anybody who's interested in just waving that flag at me to let me know that they want to have what to do with me? And when God sees that, he's filled with so much affection, with so much love and response. And Vidodi Li, he responds by waving his flag back at us. And he showers us with his love and with his blessings, and with all that we ask for. When we come to this time of year, again, the end goal, as we mentioned, is to get to that point of Atah Harei Saladas Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Od Milvado. Everything we work toward at this time of year is to come to that understanding and that realization, that recognition that there is nothing else in the world other than God Himself. The way to get there is by going through all of these processes, all of these journeys, all of these steps that have been set up for us already from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. But all God wants to see is that we sincerely call out to him and say, Anachnu lo mistadrim levad. We need a father. This child waits on the banks of the river because he needs his father's recognition. He needs his father's support. He needs his father to come and help him. And that is the same that we ask the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashivenu avinu l'sarasecha. We cannot do it on our own. The expectation is too high. Elokai netzor l'shoni meira. I cannot get to that goal on my own. It is an impossibility. I don't have the capabilities to be that strong. And all God expects of us, just like that doctor, is just call for some assistance. Just call for some help. When you say those words today in your Shemoneh Esrei, just think about what you're saying and understand that all God waits for is to hear those words with sincerity. And in kind, He will come back and wave the same flag at us. So this, I hope, is just the beginning of a little bit of a journey.